I'm just so thankful that we know the truth, that we have Bibles, and that they can show us the shape of God. Just think about that. How awesome is that? That is so huge. We can know God through the Scriptures. You don't have to just be floundering around, just being tossed to and fro in the sea without a sail, without a rudder. You can set your course. You can know the truth. You can read your Bible. It's just right here. I'm so thankful for it. I'm thankful to know that everything equates down to love. Everything comes down to love. I was just feeling convicted in my heart that my motives have not always been pure. Every time I gave, out of my life, out of my money, out of my time, whatever it was, when it should have been for the Lord, I was just feeling convicted that there's times when we just give with impure motives. That's convicting to me. There are times when I wasn't and haven't given just out of an attitude and a heart of unconditional, expecting nothing in return love. It's a big deal. Just really thankful today for God's love and just for His presence and just to see and just to fellowship with you and to see God move in your life alongside of my life. Dude, what an honor. What an honor. How many of you guys ever feel honored that you're around people that passionately love God? Dude, it's huge. To see His love living in someone else just builds your faith. You're like, He's real. I mean, that girl over there isn't just being a fool for nothing. That guy over there with the mean tats, he's not being a fool for nothing. Something's different in him. God changed him. God transformed me. We don't hear Devin preach a word that is powerful. Even though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, you're going to make it through it. You don't hear that for nothing. God's doing something inside of him. God's doing something inside of you and inside of me. Purity is your platform. Come on, think about this with me. Purity is your platform. God's doing something inside of you. And he's doing something inside of me. He's purifying our lives. He's changing us. He's making us new. The old man is passing away and he's making us new. Purity is your platform. Think about it. Purity is your platform. Turn your Bibles to Revelations chapter 12 and verse 10. Did I say Revelations? That's awesome.
It's not Revelations. It is the Revelation.
Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in the heavens say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of the brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. God, I thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, I thank you for your blood. God, that you shed for me. God, I thank you for the testimony that lives within me. I thank you for the testimony that lives within each and every believer in this room. God, that their lives have been transformed. I thank you that their lives have been transformed by the power of your blood. God, you are good. I thank you for the love that dwells inside of each and every believer in this room. God, I thank you for the purifying nature of your blood in our lives. God, you're good. Make your word come alive to us today. Make it come alive, God. God, renew our faith. Renew our faith in your love, in your transforming power. Renew our faith in one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Testimony. What is a testimony? We hear this word all the time. I want to testify. Shout out, give a testimony, Lord. Yes, sir. Can I get a witness? Is there anybody in the house tonight? Right?
Or not.
Yeah. I just want to jump up and wave my hanky. Testimony. A testimony. What is it? They will overcome the enemy by the word of their testimony. Your testimony. The definition of a testimony is something that supports a fact or a claim. Something that supports a fact. We hear people testify in court to the truth. Hopefully. At least they swear that they are.
I swear on the Bible. I don't know what's in it, but I swear on it.
Supposed to be to the truth. Jesus came to testify to the truth. We're to overcome by the word of our testimony, something that supports a fact of our life. What is your testimony? It's a profession of faith that supports a fact concerning something that God has done in your life. In your life. Something that has truly been transformed inside of you. That is your testimony. When we talk about our testimony of salvation, a lot of times we just lump up our whole testimony. Well, that's my testimony. That's how I got saved. But you know what? There's a whole lot more going on in your testimony, hopefully, than just you giving your heart to Jesus and Him renewing you. Renewing your spirit. Yeah, that's part of your testimony. It's a fact. It's a declaration, a proclamation of a fact that you've been transformed. You've been born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus. You're born again if you believe in me. So if you've given your heart to Christ and asked Him to come and renew your life, you've got a testimony. A fact about something that has been transformed in your life. It was old and now it's new. It was impure and now it's been purified by the power of the blood of the Lamb. It's good already, isn't it? I could stop right there and we could go home.
But I won't.
By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ comes, purifies your impurity from the old man and makes it new. That's your testimony. Any area of your life, it's fact. It's been purified. It's been transformed. It's been changed. There's power. There's power in that testimony. There's power in your purity. Purity is your platform. Without purity, you don't have a platform. You don't have power. If you haven't been transformed, that you could testify to the transformation in your life, there's no power, there's no platform to stand on, to minister from, to allow God to move. You cannot overcome the enemy without the power of your testimony, without the surrendering of your life to the Lord and allowing that to transform. Just move through your life.
Does my breath stink? I'm sorry.
Come on. The power of your testimony. I want you to look with me in the Bible, in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 13. We're going to look at the life of another man who is committed to a Nazarite vow. How many of you guys remember the other man that we were talking about? That was committed to a Nazarite vow.
Samson.
Not the greatest Nazarite there ever was. But if we look at John the Baptist, we're going to see a little bit better example. Amen? Amen? Yeah, you listening? They're out there, Lord, I hope. So we're looking at John's life, and he's born. Before he's born, before he's conceived, the Holy Spirit, through the angel Gabriel, is speaking to Zechariah.
I am the angel Gabriel.
Verse, 13? Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or any other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord, their God. And he will go on before the Lord, and the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready the people prepared for the Lord. He has a call before he was born, and the Holy Spirit reveals it to his father. And he tells him, look, he's going to be set apart. He's going to be pure. He's going to be a Nazarite. And this is his platform. This is what he's called to. He'll bring back many to the Lord. He will prepare the way for the Lord. In the spirit of Elijah, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. He gives him his platform. Look, in your purity, this is what I will have you do. Right? He will be set apart. He will be a Nazarite, set apart in purity for me, his whole life. And this is what he is called to do. This is his platform. I want to tell you today, you have a platform. And God has set it in motion when he willed you into existence. Can you just think about that for a moment, that God willed you? Gosh, he willed you. In his heart, he decided, I want Caleb. I want Jeremy, Tanner, Jeremy again, Randy. Justin, actually, right? Not Jeremy.
Sorry. He knows your name, even if I don't.
He willed you. You were in his heart. And more than just you being here and being a mass, taking up space and breathing up my oxygen, he created you for a platform. He ordained a platform for you. He made one for you. If you will be set aside, set apart, so that you can minister from it. That's good news. I don't know about you, but I like that. And honestly, I don't care how big my platform is. You shouldn't either. Just because my platform won't be as big as John the Baptist's, I'm just glad that he willed me. I'm here. And if my platform is only the size of my size 14 double wide feet, I'm happy. God gave me those size of feet for a reason. I haven't figured it out yet, except for to keep me humble. And that might be a good enough reason. Come on. He established a platform for you. He ordained it before you were born. Before you were conceived. He says, John, Zechariah, your wife will conceive. And this is what I've ordained him to be. Before your parents even thought about you, God, you were in God's mind. You were on God's heart. He willed you. And then you became. It's awesome. And when you were in his mind, you were in his heart, He had a platform, a window for you to minister in. The Bible talks about time. There's chronos, which is just the recording of time. And then there's kairos, which is the opportune time. And you're here in your kairos moment. Come on. This is your opportune time to have a platform to minister from. To have a testimony. To be purified. It's your time. Not someone else's look. And it doesn't matter what Cecilia's platform is. What Devin's platform is. If hers is bigger than mine. God willed me. I have a platform. I don't care. I'm blessed that she's got a platform. Prepare the way for the Lord. Be a platform. Come on, step up on your platform. Allow Him to purify your life. Now listen. John, he was exceptional. The dude was wild. I mean, being a Nazarite, you guys already know, most of you, if you're here, Nazarites weren't allowed to put the razor to themselves. So their pit hairs would, their nose hairs, their beards, their hair. They were crazy. I mean, he couldn't eat normal foods. He was out there chomping on locusts and stuff. That's good, Lord. But John's out there and he's being called to be faithful to his platform. If you look in Luke chapter 3, things weren't just easy for John. John was tempted to step off of his platform and to minister outside of his platform. See, look, I mean, you can see I'm standing on a platform. If I begin to minister or I begin to step outside of that and pretend like it's still the same level. Have you guys ever done this in the dark or you're not looking, you're holding boxes and that doesn't feel good. I have bit it multiple times. I mean, eaten it hardcore. And you stiff leg your knee and you're like walking with a limp the rest of the day to remember, to remind you, watch your step. Know your platform. You can't just walk out here like, you know, believe it or not, I'm walking on air. Never thought I could feel so free. Right? You guys know that song? Come on. Great American Hero, right? Dude always thought he could jump off buildings, but he's falling on his head. He's like, Luke chapter 3. We got to know where our platform ends. Even if we're walking in full purity like the Nazarite, John the Baptist. He's walking in full purity and the power. He's making way, making the way of the Lord. Right? He's preparing the way for the Lord and he's doing what God called him to do. And all of a sudden, the people were waiting and waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but the one more powerful than I will come. The thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. Come on. John had a platform and he stood from it, but he knew where it ended. He knew where it ended. And he did not step out or off of his platform. Tell me it wasn't a temptation for John when all the disciples and everybody around him is going, this guy's amazing. He's ministering in the spirit of Elijah to turning the hearts of the children back to their fathers. People are repenting, coming back to the Lord, and he's baptizing them. I mean, it was a movement. Even, let's look at it. I mean, come on. Even the most hypocritical of them all were coming to him. And he says this. John says it in verse 7 of chapter 3. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized to him, "You brood of vipers, you warned. Who warned you that to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit and given, keeping in with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that these stones, that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." He was hardcore. He could smell a hypocrite from 1,000 miles away. They're running up and he's like, "Uh-uh. I know where your platform ends. Listen. Uh-uh. You coming this way? You're coming this way? The axe is laid at your root. You better repent. You better change, or I'm telling you what, he's going to lay that axe to your root." John had a powerful platform. You know, the Lord, he desires a lot of things from us. And purity, guys, gals, is way up there on the list. It says, "Be holy as I am holy," right? If it wasn't possible to be purified, he wouldn't have said for us to do it. It's possible for you to be purified. It's possible for you to know your platform. It's possible for you to realize that which God made you for, and then to begin to minister from it. And know your boundaries. Know where you end. Know where your platform is not. John 4:23 says this, "Yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." He seeks them. He's seeking you right now. When you come here and you're walking up, just like they were walking up to John the Baptist, you're walking up to the throne of God. John goes, "Whoa, who told you to turn from your wrath, from the wrath that's coming?" We start coming to the altar like, "Yeah, I'm going to Christian school. Yeah, look at me. I come to GM. I go to my youth group. Everybody else is raising their hands. I'll do it too. God is good all the time. Puts a song, this heart of mine." Right? Whoa, wait a second. Top secret information. He knows. Guess who told John the Baptist that they were hypocrites in coming? He was filled with the Spirit at birth. So maybe it was the Holy Spirit, huh? I mean, I'm not a genius, but I think God is all-knowing and all-powerful and everywhere all the time. And even when you come and you go in and out of your home and in and out of church and wherever you carry your testimony, he is. He is. All the time. He is. And guess what? As you come before the Lord, the Father seeks those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. He desires you to seek Him in your spirit truthfully. Truthfully. You worship Him with all of your life, like Gabriel was talking about earlier. that it comes down to the heart of love, that our motives are pure. And when they're not, we repent and change, and we know, oh God, I stepped out of my platform. And you go to the person, look, I was outside my jurisdiction. I was off my platform. Look, this is how it really is. I'm struggling in that area of my life. I'm not purified there. Forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Because he knows. He desires, he seeks those that worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23. James 4:8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What's a double-minded man? James says that he is unstable in all he does. That means you're off of your platform. There's no foundation. There's no stability if we're double-minded. Oh, Lord, I love you. God is so good. You should know that. You're so good, dude. You're good. God is good. God is good. I love you, God.
Hey, baby. I love you. You're looking good. How you doing?
You guys seeing it? Are you seeing it? A double-minded man is unstable in all he does. You brood of vipers. You whitewashed walls. Look out. The Lord can sniff a hypocrite 10,000 miles away. Guess what? John could smell a hypocrite. Guess what? So can your friends. Guess what? So can your family. So can the world. It's no secret. You might think it's a secret, but it's not. The Lord says that he will bring light to the darkness and expose sin. Exposes it. Your sin will be found out. Your hypocrisy, even if hidden for a time, will be found out. A double-minded man is unstable, and it's obvious when you're unstable. You can't hide it. We need to be loving people for the right reasons, not for selfish motives or selfish gains, or to find acceptance or to find our identity in something. If we're finding our identity in GM, if we're finding our identity in our youth ministries, in being a leader in something or feeling important because of we identify with something, if you're finding your identity in me, I'm sorry. That's double-mindedness. You're lifting one of those things up as a golden calf in your life, and it's sin. It's double-mindedness. If you say, oh, I love you, Lord, and then you're worshiping me the same way, that's double-mindedness. That's wrong. I'm telling you right now, if you're doing it, repent. If you're worshiping a youth ministry or a church, or you're building the church and you're not building God's kingdom, that's idolatry. It just is. I'm sorry. And I love you. God loves you. And you're outside of your platform. You're off your platform. I've done it, guys. I've worshipped my wife. She's beautiful, dude. I mean, she's awesome. When I first met her, I was confused. And I worshipped her, and I've repented for it. She was more important to me. She was an idol in my life. More important to me than God was. And I made decisions because I wanted to please her before the Lord. I love you, honey. But I was loving her the way I was supposed to be loving God. By giving him my life, sharing my life with her, laying my life down for her. But she's not my God. And she can't be. Nor can anything else be a golden calf or an idol in your life. It is double-mindedness. It is sin. And it's exposed. Right now. Shink! I just pulled the curtain back. Scary sometimes, but true. Sorry.
The random mind.
John, 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. God is concerned about not only your spiritual purity, your mind, will, and your emotional purity, your double-mindedness, that you'd be single-minded. He is also concerned and desires you to be purified in your body, in your eyes, your hands, and your mouth. What you look at, what you touch, and what you say. What are you touching? What are you looking at? What are you talking about? Are you holy as the Lord is holy? I'm not. I'm expecting some of you are feeling a little convicted right now, just like me. Because we just have the truth, guys. I'm exposing right now the shape of God, and we're seeing that we are misshapen. All of us, every single one of us, are misshapen. There are things we look at, there are things we think about, there are times when we come with impure motives, we're not worshiping Him in truth, there are times that we touch things that we shouldn't be touching. We touch people we shouldn't be touching. Gals, there's times when your hearts, you're giving them to men that will not be your husband. It's impure. It's not the Lord's desire for you. It's going to reap a harvest of destruction and sadness and hurt and wounds in your life. Please allow God to purify your heart. Don't give it away to someone who will not be your spouse, that will not be committed to lay his life down for you. Sometimes women, we get caught up in guilt, manipulation, and control. Just us ladies in the house. Right? Ladies? Am I right? It's not a work it. To get your way. It's just like the daughter that just goes and sits up on her daddy's lap and just goes, "Daddy, you're so awesome." But then it can get really bad. And I'm telling you, girls, you know what I'm talking about. We girls, we know what we're talking about. Just between us ladies. Are you reading me? We use that which God had ordained for purity within the context of marriage to get what we want.
Yeah.
Am I right? Gosh. And all the guys are just like, "I hate this." You're just like, around my finger.
It's so easy.
Right? It's easy. Something about that seems so wrong. But am I right? Gals, come on. Can I get a witness?
Everybody's like, "No." I know.
And this is one of the reasons why girls get so mad at each other all the time, and guys are like, "What's going on?" Right? Gals, am I right? It's all this like hair pulling and scratching and
and what happened?
Because you're the one just like
being no. Sure, I'll go get you a mocha.
This is serious though. Listen, God wants to purify your life, ladies. God wants to purify your life. He wants you to use that which you are, that was given to you, to not be like the Jezebel. To not be like all of the pagan women in the Old Testament that lived their lives and married themselves off to godly kings and took and used that power that was meant to support, that was meant to bring life and make their good man great. And to leave a legacy of generational faithfulness throughout all the children of Israel. But instead, they used it to turn his heart and his mind to foreign gods. Don't be a Jezebel. Don't take the mighty men of God, the men of valor that sit here in this room that are in your lives, and don't take their hearts and their minds and turn them to pagan gods. Don't turn them. Don't do it. Because you will give account for it. You will stand before the Lord for it, I promise you. It's a scary thought. What are you wearing? Why are you wearing it? Why does the Bible talk about modesty? Why does the Bible talk about what a Proverbs 31 woman is? I want you to go there. This is spontaneousness. Let's go there. Proverbs 31. How many of you guys have ever read this before? Verse 10, a wife of noble character who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good and not harm. Are you bringing your men good right now? Are you bringing other wives' husbands good right now? Are you turning their hearts, their lusts? Are you bringing them good? Because they're not your husband. They're outside the context of your marriage. You have a marriage. You might not be in that marriage, but you have it. And everything you do outside the context of that marriage is adultery.
Hello.
With someone else's man. Because you ain't going to marry them, and they're going to marry somebody else, and then they'll be inside the context of marriage. Just because you do it before they put the ring on doesn't mean they do not have a marriage. And that you don't have a marriage. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for the task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. And her hand, in her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. A good woman makes a good man great. Or she destroys him. That's it. She makes linen, garments, and sells them and supplies. Dude, listen. A bad woman took the wisest man that ever was and made him terrible. Solomon. The wisest man that ever was. I read Proverbs constantly. My kids read Proverbs every day, and their life is transformed through the wisdom that God brought through the man of Solomon. And even him, he was turned. His heart was turned because of a Jezebel. Don't be a Jezebel. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithfulness. Instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her work bring her praise at the city gate. Come on, who wants to be a woman like that? Come on, that is a good woman. That's a woman that makes a good man great. Now listen, you might need to change. And I know I'm picking on the girls. Last time I was preaching, I was picking on the guys.
Yeah.
Who can find a woman of noble character? Will you be that woman? Men, will you protect that woman's heart? Will you keep her from giving her heart to you? Don't let her give her heart to you. Listen, Women in this world, we live in a broken, divided, screwed up world where women don't have daddies that love them and take their heart and protect it and lead them. And they need to give their heart to someone, to the Lord and to someone. Don't let them give it to you. Be a man. Be a man that can stand at the city gate and sit among the elders and be looked at as a powerful man of God that can be respected at the city gate. If you can allow women to not give you their heart and you can protect them from others and from people that want to abuse them and hurt them, come on, you are a man of noble character. You're the kind of man that a woman will want to marry, that a good woman will want to make great. Where are our hearts today, guys? Where are our hearts? Do we want our eyes, our hearts, our minds, our mouths to be pure before God? Do we want to be stable in all we do, that we could stand on the platform that God has given us, that we could minister according to that which He willed you for, that He willed us for? No more, no less. Are you willing to trade it for that? Man, are you willing to trade it? James 3, 9 and 10 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness, and out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Out of one corner of the mouth we praise the Lord, and the other we curse men. We gossip and slander and destroy people with our speech. This is impure, and God wants to transform it. Turn your Bibles to Acts 5 and verse 1. All right. Now it's going to get convicting.
Love the Word of God.
Love this. So good. Are you ready? Hey, we're going to go a little bit long today, and I need you to stay with me, because we can't stop.
You're too good.
I promise. I will not distract us. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife, Sapphira, also sold a piece of property with his wife, full knowledge. He kept back part of the money for himself and brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold, and after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. That's a scary day. When Ananias heard this, he fell down dead. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. I can't imagine why. Two young men take him out, drag him, and bury him. Talks to his wife. Tell me, is this the price that you and Ananias got for the land? She said, yes, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are here at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at the feet of the men and died. They carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Fear seized the whole church who heard about these events. Yeah, me too. No one's perfect, guys. We just can't minister outside of our platform. You can't deceive the Holy Spirit. You can't deceive the Holy Spirit. See, what happens when we pretend like we have a ministry outside of our testimony, outside of that of which the blood of the Lamb is purified, there's no truth. There's no foundation there. And guess what? It's deception. It's lies. It's not real. It's not truth. See, what happens is it's like this. We pretend like we have a ministry in some area, and some brother comes to us and they're like, dude, I'm really struggling with cussing people out. I just get angry. I just get mad, and he shuts my locker and steps on my toe. He takes my parking spot at the college. Just get angry. And guess what? you struggle with the same thing, and just 10 minutes before somebody cut you off and you start cussing out, you're like, bleepity bleep 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 bleep. Right? And then your brother comes to you and you're just like, oh, brother. I'm so bummed out for you right now. Do you know, my dear brother, that James 1:19 says, oh, take note of this. Everyone should not be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteousness life that God desires. Instead of saying and leading with your weakness and humility and saying, brother, dude, I just did exactly what you're describing like 5 minutes ago. Look, here's where my platform ends. I don't have any authority in my life, no jurisdiction. I'm not purified in this area of my life to give you wise counsel. But I can tell you what I'm doing. That I have another friend, or I have a pastor, or this is the church I'm going to. Look, I know the Bible says that we should be doing this, and I suck. Let's pray together and hope that we don't swear in the middle of our prayer. Instead of, oh, brother, let me put on the mask of deception and just deceive you. Instead of, even though I'm telling them scripture, what am I giving them? I'm ministering through the spirit of deception. You can't deceive the Holy Spirit, Ananias. You can't do it. It might be the Word of God, but you are not ministering the same Spirit. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Purity is your what? Purity is your platform. Don't minister outside of your platform, guys, gals. Dangerous business. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit struck a man dead for doing it. Woo! Yeah! Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness, but you're already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. And I promise you to one husband and to Christ so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow have led you astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel, say gospel, from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. But I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not have been trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Listen, there is a way that you can talk about the things maybe of the Lord. And it sounds all good and dandy, but listen, if you have not been transformed in your life in this area, you do not have a platform for that ministry. Just like John the Baptist, even in his full purity, he still had limits. So do you. Even if you're fully pure, God willing, you still have a boundary. You still have a platform, that of which God willed you for from the beginning of time. Do not pick up the ministry of deception and pretend like you have something you do not. If you are impure in that area of your life, be humble. Be open and lead with your weakness and let people know that, look, I just don't have it there. You can minister deception. You can let them drink from your goodness. You can let them drink your lemonade. You can pretend like it's lemonade. Oh, brother, take a drink, really. But then, once they taste it, and they realize, It's not lemonade.
I can't get it off. It's floor stripper!
That's good for your body? No, floor stripper's bad for your body. You smell floor stripper, you get cancer. You drink it, you die. What are you letting people drink from your wells? What are you letting people drink from your lies? Are you giving them a false testimony? A lie? Are you ministering to them with a spirit of deception? Are you letting them drink poison? Are you turning them to poison to drink? See, God wants to transform your life. God does want to do something powerful through you. But if the real you is not really known, it's really dangerous. Is the real you really known? Are you willing to just take off those masks and just lay them down? And just be okay with the fact that you're not perfect yet? And just be okay with the fact that if you're leading in some ministry or you're an example or people believe know that you're a Christian, you can just be open with them and you can let them know, look, I am being purified. There's still poison in my well. There's still wrong things that are going on in my life and I need to be changed. But here's my testimony. I was lost but now I'm found. I was dead but now I'm alive. I know that there's these other areas of my life that are broken and sinful, and they're wrong. I admit it to you. You're right. You see it right. I'm not perfect. But look, I know there's a God. And He changed something inside of me. And here's what it is. You get on your platform, whether it's one toe. This is what happened to me. And you share it with boldness, and you declare it with boldness. And that's it. And that's enough. Because what did it say in Revelation? It says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The measure of your revelation is equal to the measure of your responsibility. Write that down. If you're taking notes, do not miss this. And I'm going to close. The measure of your revelation is equal to the measure of your responsibility. The measure of your platform is the measure of your ministry. And you are responsible for that platform. Do not forget it. If you've been transformed, you've been saved, the blood of the Lamb, you've overcome in some area of your life, that's the measure of your responsibility. That is the size of your platform. Don't beat yourself up. Don't get so discouraged that the enemy has his way with you and you don't overcome. Because you're not perfect. Be real. Let the real you be really known. And minister from your platform that you do have. Do not let the enemy get victory over you because you feel guilty about having sin in your life. Big surprise. You've all got it. You're all infected. So am I. Let's get over ourselves. Let's get on our platforms and let's ask God to purify our lives and broaden our platform to that of which He willed it to be, and let's minister from it. Amen? Come on. Purity is your what? It's your platform. Philippians 2:15, and I am closing right now. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, the word of your testimony, guys. Come on, as you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. I don't want to run or labor for nothing. If I have a church that's 10 people big, but they've got a platform of purity to minister from, yeah, I did not labor in vain. And I'm willing to tell you the truth because I really love you and I'm really scared. I'm scared of the Lord. I want you to know that. I'm willing to tell you these things because I have real fear that God will hold me accountable for the words and the way that I minister to you from the platform that I pretend or presume to have. All of your lives, you come and sit here to hear me speak, to hear someone in this ministry preach. It better be the Word of God. It better be the absolute truth and not just a bunch of stuff that makes your flesh feel good. Makes you want to keep coming here and identifying with some golden calf. That is not who I'm going to be. And if you're looking for that, you're in the wrong place. Because this is not who we are. And I love you. And I hope you stay. And I hope if you hear this message, you stay. And you have a desire to be purified in your life. You have a desire to be something for the Lord. And not be a bunch of waste of good clay that he made. Don't be a waste of clay. Let him form your little Play-Doh life into something that's good, that has a platform that can make a difference. Amen. No altar calls tonight, even though you want them. You want to respond. You want to just, get it out.
No. No.
You're going to have to stew and allow the Holy Spirit to work on your heart. And if this is who you really want to be, you don't need an altar call. You're going to have your own altar call with the Lord tonight. And it's going to hurt. It's not going to be easy. Everything that's worth it is not easy. If you're living a life that's really easy, it's not worth it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you that your word does not return void. That is sharp. Sharper than a double-edged sword, God, able to penetrate and cut into marrow and bone and flesh and sinew and all of the living things that you created in our lives. To cut off the misshapen things that are not in your shape, that are not in your character, that are not in your nature. Father, come right now and transform our lives. Father, cut out the impure things in my heart. Cut out the broken and double-minded ways in my life. Holy Spirit, let your word cut off all of the lustful thoughts and things that we look at and that I've looked at. The things that we've touched in an ungodly way, cut them out. Transform us. God, put us in that refiner's fire. Turn up the heat, Lord. Purify us from all unrighteousness. Let the dross, the imperfections, be swept away. God, that we would be refined, pure as gold, that when the judgment comes, when we stand before you, Lord, that there would be things in our lives that could stand the test of fire, that could stand the test of just your presence. Purify our lives. God, I'm just praying right now that there would be a fiery hedge of protection over the men and women here. God, as the enemy wants to come down and steal this word from their hearts, Father, that you would just shoot him in Jesus' name. That he would not have the opportunity to eat this word up. God, that you would cultivate the hearts of every young person in this room and in my heart, and that any fallow, hard, unusable ground would be tilled up for your kingdom seeds to be planted and to bear powerful fruit of righteousness and holiness and purity in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.